Comments on Serotalk Tech Chats are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotech Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers. Welcome to the latest Serotalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft. Welcome to Serotalk Tech Chat 98. It's the best and accessible Windows software. That's what we're talking about tonight. My name is Michael Loft. Our guest this evening first is Mr. Rick Harmon with the BlindGeekZone.net. That's actually blind-geek-zone.net. Thanks for joining us tonight, Rick.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on tonight.
All right. We're going to talk about all kinds of good stuff, but also joining us is Byron Lee, and he does a lot of cool stuff. Of course, I guess his main daytime gig is working for Horizons for the Blind and public relations for that organization, and of course, the very popular and useful directionsforme.org and .com. Thank you for joining me tonight, Brian. We've got a number of different topics. I made a heading category here called Michael's Faves. And so I'll just mention these, and these are direct links, and any of you can comment on any of these, either specifically that you use them or any tips or tricks people want to keep in mind. First one I mention is something called CCleaner, latest version 3.05. Of course, the C stands for crap, and this is a way to clean up a bunch of temporary files and kind of free up disk space, and it even does some stuff in the registry. Do any of you want to make any comments about that program?
Yeah, it's a really good program. The only complaints I've had about it lately, and I guess this is just from a JAWS perspective, I don't know about the other screen readers per se. WindowEyes and System Access might handle it better, but I notice every time you turn around, you get a new update for CCleaner. The checkboxes and stuff, you can never tell the status of them, so I guess once you got it set, you know, it's okay, but you know, at least in JAWS, it gets real problematic sometimes telling what's checked and unchecked.
Okay, that must be a JAWS thing, because I use SA and WindowEyes, and those read fine. Wow. I have seen an issue in System Access when you go into the review the mouse, virtual mouse, where sometimes it doesn't show, because I want to go in and see, like, how many megabytes of disk space has been freed up.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, other than that, it works pretty good. Then the next thing is, and we'll talk about this maybe for a little bit, is Firefox 4.0. Of course, I know, Byron, you mentioned you're still using XP, and, of course, I have one computer here also using XP. And that is the choice for speed and reliable, you know, computer usage. So I don't know if any of you are doing that or even upgraded to IE9 or Chrome. We'll just talk about browsers in general. What are you guys doing? I'll start with you, Byron.
Yeah, actually, I am using Firefox. And before we jump into Firefox, I just want to make a quick comment about CCleaner. And that is registry cleaners are, in theory, a nice idea and everything, but registry cleaners just kind of rips things out that it assumes are old or rips out these dead registry keys. And maybe it's just me, and you'll notice throughout the night talking to me that while I do like looking at the newest of the new, and I'm interested in the bleeding edge, in a lot of ways I'm sort of a curmudgeon when it comes to technology, because when I find something that works, I have a hard time dealing with something that's new or something that will drastically change my system. And so registry cleaners are one of those things that I personally stay away from, because you never know when it's going to rip something out that it shouldn't have. And so I'm a little overly cautious in that regard.
I guess there's nothing wrong there. I actually use another one that's I can't recommend for newbies, but it's called TuneUp Utilities. And I think it's tune-up.com. And you are correct that you do have to be very careful with any kind of registry cleaners, because you can actually create more problems than you solve. So that's not something to take lightly or just grab it. Oh, it's free. It's going to clean up my registry and speed it up.
But CCleaner CCleaner probably is one of the best registry cleaners out there, as far as I've seen others talk about, to the fact that it doesn't get so aggressive. Yeah, you're right. A lot of the registry cleaners get so aggressive that they do more harm than good. And everything I've heard about CCleaner is that it's not aggressive, and I've never seen it cause any problems to a registry. I do recommend CCleaner's Register Cleaner, where I wouldn't necessarily recommend maybe some others.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very good. Well, on that, I guess we'll move over. We can come back to utilities in a little bit. But I want to talk about browsers because, you know, you've had a recent release of Firefox 4, and at first some people didn't upgrade because there was no WebVisum, and now that's been resolved over at WebVisum.com. I think it's 0.8, a plugin to actually get those CAPTCHAs worked out for you. But then also IE9 recently, again, for Windows 7 and Vista, but not XP, and forthcoming IE10, that'll be Windows 7 only, and maybe into Windows 8 whenever that rolls out. But any thoughts in general on browsers?
Well, I really love the browser sync that is included in Mozilla Firefox 4. And what that does is, let's say you've got a browser at home and you've got a browser at work, and sometimes, like me, you take your work home or you take some of your playtime things to work. You know, you shouldn't do that, but some of us do. And say you want to see all your bookmarks and stuff, in both browsers. Or, you know, for another example, a laptop versus a desktop. You want to see the same favorites and all that. So the browser sync on Firefox 4, you sign both browsers up to this account, and then they keep each other updated. So whenever you add a new bookmark or change something about a browser, it changes it remotely on the other computer the next time it comes online.
Any thoughts there, Rick, or you either? Because I definitely want to ask you guys about IE9, nice. If it's broken some websites that don't work as well as they did on IE8, or if you think it's more stable or don't like it.
I'm using IE9 here. I just really never got on the Firefox bandwagon that much. You know, I've tried it a few times, and it's pretty cool. But, yeah, IE9's pretty nice. I know, Mike, that you said SA supports the dialogues perfectly, whereas, JAWS, and I can't speak for Windows, JAWS doesn't handle the dialogues still quite 100% properly, but, you know, because it's got that new download manager built into it.
And there are some tweaks that can be made to improve accessibility on IE9. I think the issue with System Access I've seen is more on Firefox 4 with some of the drop-downs, or combo boxes. People have different names for them, but... So, yeah, pretty good. And either you guys just geeking around and playing with anything like Google Chrome or...
Well, I've had very little experience with Google Chrome, but in terms of accessibility, at one point it was not very accessible, or accessible at all, I guess I should say. But coming from a partially sighted perspective, it definitely seemed a lot faster than Firefox or Internet Explorer. And in fact, I figured out the reason why it seemed so much faster was when I tested it, was because I had a thing enabled on Skype that would take any phone number found on a web page and convert it into a clickable phone number that you could then dial with Skype. And so I had that enabled because I thought it was really cool. Well, when you're looking at a large list of files or something, it has to scan that whole page of text looking for phone numbers first. And so I would find that with Firefox, with that enabled, it would just slow down my browser. But of course, with Google, I didn't have that plugin installed. So I was thinking, man, this is so much faster. I can do Hulu and the page just loads right up and I could just go. Whereas with Firefox, I have to wait forever for the stupid page to load. And then once I uninstalled that feature from Skype, then I'm like, well, this really isn't all that much faster. So...
Well, what a great segue. Let's talk about Skype, the latest version 5.3. And, of course, a lot of folks use an add-on to that, which I didn't link to right here, but Skype Talking that makes some components of Skype speak that don't by design. And your mileage certainly varies with different screen readers. And of course, there's also add-on programs that some folks use for recording your Skype calls. I use something called Skype MX, or maybe it's MX Skype, I never know, but 4.3 for actually recording my Skype calls that I use when we do podcasts and things of that sort. And there's a few Call Burner, which is kind of expensive, and there's one Skype free Skype recorder or something like that, which works pretty good, but once in a while it drops a couple packets. But let's talk about your general thoughts on Skype and anything you do to make it more accessible, or just tips for getting the most out of Skype. I know one that view, I think, and you go and choose compact or something, and that makes it easier to read messages coming in and so forth. But I'll start with you, I guess, Rick. Thoughts on Skype and getting the most?
Skype is interesting. I've just started using the 5.x versions here over the last, 4 or 5 months, and Yeah, the thing that seems to be the trend in all these programs anymore, you know, just like the Microsoft Essentials, you know, 2011 and things like that. Compact mode. Skype's the same way. You got to put it in compact mode. It's got all this crap all over the screen, and you're tabbing. And yeah, definitely compact mode. The Skype talking's really nice. If you're a JAWS user, you know, Dougley's Skype scripts. You know, WindowEyes, I think there's some kind of Skype scripts as well, or Skype applications. And yeah, but it's nice. I like it. It's taken some getting used to, especially if you're an XP user and you're moving up from 3.8. You know, there's some big differences. But overall, it's pretty nice. I like it, and I use it a lot.
And we did a demo on Skype 4, which some of those things, most of those carry over to Skype 5. The main thing when you get Skype installed is go into Tools and Options, go down to the hotkeys and enable those. Check the boxes there, and then you can answer with whatever it is, alt page up and hang up with alt page down. And
yeah, those are real important.
Yeah, that's because that way you can do it from anywhere. Otherwise, you got to go into the call or the answer menu and then, you know, bring the folks in. So it's a learning experience, but the quality is really good, although I think Skype is not as reliable as it used to be. You get things like message, you know, call refuse and just crazy things where you can't connect. I just don't think it's as stable as it used to be, but it does work good. There's nothing that matches it really as far as reliability of the call. And I really, with the new special lady in my life, Misty, we've been doing Skype video calls, and that's really awesome. It's amazing what someone can see remotely.
You know, and Skype is really great for bringing people together. You know, it's great for fostering relationships. I mean, my close and personal relationship with the Skype Echo Test lady has never been better.
I don't even want to guess what kind of things you say to her. I'm certainly not going to admit what I say to the, as I call her, the Skype chick.
Yeah.
But, you know, me being the curmudgeon I am, like I've said, I kind of view myself as being the blind John C. Dvorak because I hate everything that's new. I get so annoyed with these programs that while, you know, if you're totally blind, maybe you might not notice it because the menus are accessible, and so you'll notice like things moving around or things acting different. But what I really hate is, you know, this change, the migration away from your standard gray background and blue title bars and, you know, decently sized fonts that follow whatever the system font is. So, you know, if you've changed your DPIs on your screen to be a certain size and you've got your system font to be extra large, and then you install Skype and you've got two tiny, like maybe like 2 centimeter wide letters for your menu system, and it's like it's sleek and looks like the outside of a car or something. I hate that. Just give me back my regular window. So yeah. I did not like the new Skype. I haven't liked Skype since the 2X series of Skype. Well, maybe 3X was okay, but it really started going downhill when we got to 4.
Very interesting.
And I remember that from a sighted perspective, too, especially things like MSN Messenger and Skype. God. Yeah, they everything over the last few years has been skin. Mm-hmm. You know, and it gets crazy.
Well, speaking of other things that are multifaceted and throw up their issues for accessibility, let's talk about iTunes. The latest version just released, 10.22. Again, I kind of put it with Adobe Reader. It's kind of a necessary evil. You don't really have to use Adobe, and you don't have to use iTunes. There's other ways to do those things. However, if you do have an iPhone or iPod Touch or iPad, you're almost really, you do have to, you know, unless you jailbreak your phone, you're going to really have to use iTunes to get information onto and off of the phone. But I'll be curious, and I'll start with you, Rick, on just your thoughts on impressions or anything that people might keep in mind for using iTunes.
You probably should have started with Byron.
Okay, we can do that. Do you even use it? Do you have an iOS device?
I use iTunes, but I only use it on the Mac.
Okay, well, all right, didn't it?
So,
well, then to Byron we go. Yes, sir.
Well, okay, it's going to be a repeat of my opinions of the new Skype because, you know, again, with the stupid user interface on iTunes, it's really hard to see everything on there. iTunes for Windows is a big disappointment compared to iTunes for Mac. It's just such more of a resource hog. It just seems to be very laggy, and I only use it to get the newest Apple updates, you know, to sync my iPod up with Apple and get the new version of iOS or whatever. So I don't use it for putting music on my iPod. I don't use it for downloading apps or anything like that. What I do use, and since I'm a partial, I'm not sure about the accessibility, although it looks like an accessible program. You know, you can sometimes tell based on, does it have lots of text? Are the buttons mostly text? That it might be accessible. What I'm using is a thing called Copy Trans Manager. And so it allows me to take things off of and put things onto my iPod, through a much more simple interface. And it seems to be the popular alternative to iTunes.
Well, that's why we do these, so we learn some new things. I wasn't aware of that.
So we have to get somebody who knows all this accessibility stuff. I mean, I know a little bit because I do have experience with JAWS and using it at work. But we might want to get somebody who's really an expert and have them like feel that program out and see if it's any good.
Well, do you know the website or anything? We'll go take a look at that and see.
You know, I can get you the website.
Okay, great. We will add that to the show notes then once available. And I looked at another one that looked accessible as well. I didn't play with it that much, but maybe an alternative to iTunes, although I don't know that it syncs to iOS devices, but it's called Media Monkey, but it was the same concept of audio and video playback, CD ripping, I mean, doing a variety of different multimedia tasks, but it had menus and... I just didn't really play with it that much. You know, to me, software, I have to have a task, a project in mind. Otherwise, I just kind of look through the menus and go, okay, you know, that looks doable. But that looked like a pretty viable, if you're kind of looking for an all-in-one piece of software to do your multimedia.
I haven't tried Media Monkey for, using it with my iPhone, but I did use it temporarily when I was looking for a good podcatching client because, as we know, iPodder, which is now Juice, has sort of become defunct because of iTunes. You know, iTunes has sort of become the end-all and be-all for podcast downloading and subscribing. And so I was looking for an alternative that wasn't iTunes, and I found Media Monkey, and that was pretty good.
Well, I still use Juice on XP, but I don't think it works on 64 Windows 7. Is that... Do you know, Rick?
I've seen some notes from the Windows 7 list that says there are ways to get it to work, but yeah, I gave up on Juice long ago myself. It's just too quirky.
Yeah, of course, and I do a lot of that through SamNet and, of course, apps specifically for the iPhone to accomplish that as well.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, by the way, I found the URL for Copy Trans Manager if you want that.
Okay, what is it?
It's copytrans.net/copytransmanager.php.
Okay, very good. Well, we will. I'm not going to do it live just in case I get it wrong, but I will put that in the show notes and we'll.
And you can probably just go to copytrans.net and find it from there.
Exactly. Well, our last one here on Necessary Evils is the latest Adobe 10.01, I guess it is, or is it 10.1? Something like that. But I'm curious if any of you use any alternate means for getting PDF files. I know. You know, Jamal Masri has the PDF to TXT, and of course, Serotech, we have DocuScan Plus that you can use to read PDF files. But any thoughts on Adobe Acrobat Reader or just anything else you do with PDFs?
I haven't really done a lot with PDFs. I have used the accessibility features that are built into Acrobat Reader, which seem to be okay, not the greatest solution in the world. To be honest with you, I really don't know a lot about PDFs because I don't really work with them that often.
Okay. They're kind of a necessary evil. I mean, if you get user manuals or restaurant menus, what are your thoughts, Rick, on PDF in general?
Well, you know, I use it as little as possible as well, but I have heard, and I can't really confirm it, but I have heard that the 10X version of Adobe is better accessibility wise.
Right, the original 10.0 was not, but then it came out 10.1.
Adobe kind of doesn't have a real great track record there. And I've messed around a little bit with Jamal's, PDF converters and things like that, and they do a pretty good job too. So there's definitely stuff out there.
There is a decent reader out there called Foxit Reader. And it's not bad. You can find that at foxitsoftware.com. And it's not terrible. It's not great either, but it works.
It's accessible enough to use it to open PDFs and read.
Yeah,
and stuff
they have some accessibility, things in there. It was obviously with many other things, it was thrown in there. I'm sure as an afterthought, but it does have some accessibility in there.
Well, I have to talk about still my favorite audio player. I've been using it for 13 years. Maybe I should have linked it in with iTunes, and that being Winamp, latest version 5.61. Still one of my faves. Still,
Oh, yeah.
Some folks are like, hey, what's that? Why'd you put that on my computer? But
Winamp.
That's a great program.
Yeah, the only thing I haven't seen is a plugin to make it play DVDs.
No, I haven't either.
If there's one of those, by all means, someone let me know. But
have you looked at the properties on the 5.61? Yeah.
Yes,
you see the thing in there that says Dropbox?
I hadn't seen that. I guess I hadn't looked in the properties.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out, well, what does this do? Does this tie into Dropbox somehow? It's some new features that are in the 5.61.
Well, I will definitely go take a look at that. Very interesting. But folks who just don't know, I mean, what Winamp is, it's not only a player of almost any type of audio file, but you can play many types of video files as well. Internet radio stream, radio stations, TV stations. You can even broadcast with it if you need to, or it has something called Audio Stalker and some other plugins. You can make it do things like normalize so all your audio is at the same volume level. I know some folks actually broadcast and do radio shows with it. It's just a very powerful program. Yep. There are some things you do need to be careful when you're installing it. There's definitely a lot of things I unchecked. There's one particular screen, and I just uncheck everything. One of the last screens before the install. Do you want 53 downloads? Do you want...
Winamp have to be your search engine.
Right, all kinds of craziness. So, do a
uncheck, uncheck.
Uncheck, do a custom install, and pay attention when you install it. But it is well worth it. It's a great program. Definitely one of my faves, without a doubt.
One of the things real quick before you move on, one of the things I do with Winamp is there's a feature in there called Nullsoft Disk Writer. And so if I have, let's say I want something that's a Windows media file and I want to convert it to MP3 or a DivX file that I want to convert to MP3, I will go into properties and enable the Nullsoft Disk Writer as my sound card output instead of the DirectX Wave out or whatever. And then it will play the file very fast, and you won't hear anything, but it will, as you're sitting there watching the counter, it will sit there and convert the file and put it in your computer as either like a WAV or an MP3 or whatever you choose it to be. So it's a good audio converter as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I do need to, maybe I should jump around a little bit here and stay in the audio realm. Now, one thing, Kelly Pierce had sent me an email saying something to the effect of, I'm glad you dropped your Mac fanboy hat for a while and going to talk about Windows software that most of us use in the real world. I love you too, buddy. But he mentioned a few apps here, and one of them was Exact Audio Copy. And I think this was the original I used back in the day called Audio Grabber, and what it does is it really excels at ripping audio or music from CDs, and it's... Mm-hmm. And I've actually heard files that it's extracted sound better than the original CD. You kind of wonder how that's possible, but what I guess happens, I think it does one channel at a time. It literally separates the channel, so you end up with better.
It's an interesting program. I've played with it a little bit. I was ripping all my CDs a while back to FLAC, and I tried it. It did a really good job, but man, every time I ran it on my system, it took 25 minutes to do a disk. I said, oh, I'll never get done.
Yeah, because it like does 20 passes and just...
Yeah.
So it's really for the audio file. Now, of course, Kelly wrote, he said it's a little advanced. You know, it's not for the beginner user. But
no, it isn't.
It's really for the audio connoisseur and someone who's a little bit of a computer geek and just wants those files to sound as good as... But there are some other options as well. One of you mentioned CDEX.
CDEX, yeah, I use CDEX.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not bad.
Then that is free, right?
That's free.
Then there's also Easy CDDA Extractor. There's Switch File Sound Converter. Of course, SAMMET members have some tools in their arsenal to convert CDs to MP3 and OGG.
Yeah.
So there's certainly some options, but talk about CDEX, and since that's free, a lot of ears perked up on the word free.
Well, CDEX is a nice ripping program. You know, it goes out to the internet, looks up all the stuff for your disk. So when you rip a disk, it's got your titles and all your files are MP3 tagged and all that good stuff. The only problems I've had with it, I noticed on Windows 7, is it by default writes your files that it rips out to /programfiles/CDEX, you know, and in there. And it's just insane because that is a place that Windows protects. And you can't see the folders.
Yeah, and it doesn't give you a preferences to change where those files are stored.
You have to. Yeah, you can go into setup. I know in JAWS you got to do little cursor magic, but you know, yeah, you have to change those. But why they would point? That's the only thing I would tell anybody for Windows 7 that's getting it. Make sure you go into the settings and point those directories somewhere else first.
Okay, so now some folks want. Oh, go ahead, Byron. You had something.
I was just going to say one other. Since we were talking about media players, you know, we all know that the evils of Windows Media Player. So you know, I would recommend an alternative to Windows Media Player or Winamp if you don't like, because I know there's certain people who don't like Winamp for whatever reason. VLC, Video LAN. I forget what the C stands for, but VLC is a really good media player, and it does play DVDs. It plays, you know, pretty much any audio or video codec that you could ask for.
Yeah, let me stop you first, because yeah. I thought they broke accessibility with like 086H, and it's up to like 1.19.
Really?
Yeah, it's been broken for a couple of years.
Yeah, I haven't. So, I've tried like 1.05 and couldn't get it to work.
Yeah, so unless you have, and I do have the older version, and I do keep it just for that, playing DVDs. So that might be a good one if anyone knows any tools for playing DVDs, or maybe a good segue. You were mentioning earlier the Windows Media Center, something built into.
Windows Media Center. Cool, and I wish I wish I was using my actual computer instead of my iPod to talk to you guys, because I could give you a quick little demo. But basically, Windows Media Center comes with Windows 7, and I do have a Windows 7 box over here that I use primarily for watching TV and playing games and stuff. I don't really use it as my primary computer, but I put NVDA on my computer, and I had Windows Media Center, and I was able to use most of the buttons and find things to watch. They have an internet TV section, so you can find things from CBS and a few other networks. It has a thing in there for Netflix. It has a thing called the Zune Video Channel, a Zune Video Podcast Channel, where you can find all kinds of cool podcasts about almost anything. And then the cool thing about it is that if you have a TV tuner card, you can use it for recording TV or watching live TV, and you can browse the guides and read the descriptions for pretty much everything. And it's really, other than the Apple TV, it's like the closest I've gotten to having a PVR without having to be able to see the screen.
Now, there's some network shows, right? There's a few shows already in there that you can watch, like streaming, right? I think CBS, you can watch Price is Right, Young and the Restless, mm-hmm. different shows on network, and some others as well, right?
You can watch like CSI, and I watched Big Brother the entire season last year, because I don't have cable TV here, I just have the internet. And so I watched Big Brother on Windows Media Center. I watched NCSI,
NCIS?
NCIS, thank you. I watched all of that show on there. So it's a great way to get TV if you don't have cable.
Well, good deal. I guess it's time to segue into audio recorders. Now, Kelly specifically mentioned Studio Recorder from APH, which is a great product. A little pricey, so it's not going to be just for everyone, but it is a very good lightweight, low on system resources, meaning you can even have it on a netbook or something that... and it has like audio tones to let you know if you're over modulating, and of course, it does wave and MP3. But it is this is what the APH uses when they record books for the National Library Service. So it's a pretty cool program, and there have been some updates on it. But it, like I said, it's got a little bit of a price, but it is it was made with accessibility in mind. So you've got hotkeys, it is fully accessible, as far as I know, with every screen reader. So that's one. I myself use SoundForge, which is now owned by Sony. It's version 10.0. And the only thing that sucks is the installer. There's a button that you can't click on. So you either need sighted help, or I just started browsing. I found it. When it extracted, it made a temporary file called Sony_install1. I just backed that up, and then I could install the two individual setup files, one for SoundForge and one for the noise reduction plug-in. So there's a way. So that's a little annoying, and I've asked them to try to fix that. So hopefully they will one of these days. But, Rick, you also use something that I guess works good for some folks. I find it tends to degrade certain audio, maybe with certain sound cards, but you're a big user, and many blind folks are, of a program called GoldWave. So I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, GoldWave is a very inexpensive program. It's only $50. It's certainly not going to topple SoundForge in any way, shape, or form, but I do use it for most of my stuff on Blank Geek Zone, and Yeah, I have noticed degradation sometimes. What I do with GoldWave these days is I record everything in it, save it out as WAV, and then use something like Switch to convert it to MP3. I've noticed if you use GoldWave's built-in MP3 encoders, I don't know, it seems to, like you said, degrade. But it's a great program, and you can use it for free as well, just as a demo. And it really has a very gracious demo period that you can do a lot of stuff with it.
We actually use Studio Recorder at Horizons for the Blind because we record audio manuals. You know, if you have a phone that you would like made into an audio manual, you can have that done by us, and we have Studio Recorder for that. We also do bills with that, and then I use SoundForge at home for producing bits for my radio show. And I have a copy of the free version of GoldWave on my computer at work because I don't have a copy of Studio because I'm not the audio engineer. But I do sometimes help the audio engineer. And one of the things I have to do is proof the audio. And I find it's easier to get through the thing if I can speed it up a little bit, because sometimes hearing the same thing over and over, it gets really tiring. So you speed it up, maybe like by a couple percent, so it just gets it through it faster. And I use GoldWave to do that, and I also use it to mark the spots where things need to be changed. So
mm-hmm. Okay, and there's now what about Total Recorder? Do any of you use that program?
I bought Total Recorder back in 2002 and I used it all the time, but most of the things I want to record are actually on the internet, so I've started using Replay AV for recording most of the streams that I'm listening to. In terms of recording audio off of a microphone, I tend to use SoundForge, but I still have Total Recorder installed here, and it's great for catching something you missed because it has this great little feature in it where it will record the last 30 seconds of it'll basically keep a buffer going all the time of what you're doing, and if you're quick enough and you can get into Total Recorder and hit record, it'll catch the last 30 seconds of audio that you might have missed.
Well, the other thing is that it... you can exclude certain screen readers, and I think by default it excludes WindowEyes and JAWS, but you can also, with a very simple method, you can exclude System Access or NVDA, so they can speak to you, but they're not actually picked up. They're not actually recorded. So bad if you want to do demos where you're wanting to use the speech, we do, tutorials, but otherwise to actually record music and have your speech in the background but not have it recorded. And it does internet streams. It's a little tricky to do, but it will do... streams, and you put them in there. And of course there's another app that only works with JAWS that I know of called Radio Time, and you can actually record up to 8 different radio stations at once. So it's great if you really like to record streaming radio, or maybe 8 stations in one city, or just different around the country, or just multiple talk shows.
And the neat thing about Radio Time or Replay AV or any of these other internet radio streaming programs that record is that they do it without using your sound card. They just record in the background. They capture the stream and convert it or save it in its natural format. And right. So you can wait until it's time to hear the show. Maybe you listen to a certain morning show at night before you go to bed because you have to go to work in the morning. You can't listen to it. So you don't have to worry about it hogging up your sound card as you're recording stuff.
Okay, well, so enough for our audio. You can check out all those things. Let's talk about system utilities. We mentioned this earlier. We talked about CCleaner. We're kind of unanimous on that. I talked about TuneUp or TuneUp Utilities. I think someone mentioned My Defrag. So what would you use for utilities, keeping your maintenance on your computer, keeping it running at optimum speed and performance?
Okay, well, I'll go first, I guess.
Okay, all right.
Well, basically here, antivirus-wise, I use Microsoft Security Essentials. It's a good free program. It's had very high independent reviews. Probably not as good as maybe Viper or Nod 32 or something like that. But, you're only talking a few percentage points, and, for us cheapos that want to be free. Good program. Anti-spyware, I use Malwarebytes and Super Anti-Spyware, a couple great programs there. Microsoft has released a tool. I can't tell you the address of it, but... Yeah, because I've just seen it today. It's a malware removal tool that they've released to the public for free. So, Microsoft's really trying to get into this antivirus, anti-malware thing big time. CCleaner, like you said, use that for all my cleanup because it's so much faster than using disk cleanup in Windows. Defragmentation, any more Windows 7, I don't know. I kind of let it just do its own thing, you know, since it's built in and in the background. I have used some of the other programs, like I said, MyDefrag and things like that. I don't know. You know, just the normal kinds of things.
Anything you know, for you, Byron, or what about security? You said you use Avast?
Yeah, I actually use Avast, and I guess there are some accessibility issues regarding that, especially in terms of installing it. And I guess it can be a bit of a bear, but I managed to get through it okay. And we use Viper at work. But really, what I've found for cleaning Windows, what works best is a bucket and a squeegee.
Oh, yeah, and the disk to put a clean copy on there after a while, huh?
Yeah.
I did that, so it's kind of interesting. I recently rebuilt a computer, and I myself, and of course it's not for everyone, but you know, when if it's mine or for a friend or family member, and I get a Dell, HP, Toshiba, Sony Vio, whatever, I'm not going to mess with it. I'm just going to put a clean copy of Windows on it because it's just...
It's not worth it.
Just too much crap they put on it. It's already degraded, you know, when you get it. So that's the apps I put here are the first ones that I would install.
Did you see where Microsoft is selling their own PCs now?
No, I hadn't seen that.
And they're called the Signature Series. And that's their whole thing. They don't put any of this bloatware on the computers. And the customers can customize them, you know, any way they want. And they just started doing that. They even now have some Microsoft stores, you know, brick and mortar stores.
You know, it's kind of interesting you should say that because Apple, you know, I hate to talk too much about Apple because, you know, we talk about Apple all the time. But, you know, Apple has always had, you know, you buy your Apple computer from Apple and it's made by Apple. And so it's really the experience that they intended you to have. And so it's kind of nice to see Microsoft getting into that game where it's their experience that they coded for you and it's direct from them and there's no middle people, you know, putting junk on there and making it different. You know, that's where I think, you know, Android is going to have its problems because Motorola and Samsung and all these other companies put their stuff on it. And so it's no longer the Android experience. It's really the Android experience plus whatever they decided to put on there. And, so I just think that Apple has really done a great job at making that experience what they wanted it to be and not letting a lot of people muscle their way in.
Well, I mean, they'll argue that's why you pay a little more because these companies are subsidized by putting copies of Norton or McAfee on there.
Exactly.
Or the, you know, the 60-day office trial and so forth, hoping to click through and buy it. Speaking of Office and particular word processors, Kelly Pierce says he wants to make sure that folks understand the importance of using Microsoft Word. And, of course, to do that, you buy a copy of Office. But I'm curious what you do for just basic editing. I mean, there's one called Jart, spelled J-A-R-T-E, that we have a link to up here. Jamal Masri has EdSharp, E-D-S-H-A-R-P, of course, Sharp being the language, C-sharp, that it was written in. There's Note Tab, which is one that I've used for a while to do write text and HTML web pages. But I'm curious what you do for editing.
I primarily use, you know, if it's just a quick note, if I don't need to worry about spell check or fonts or anything, I'll just go to Start, Accessories, and get a Notepad. If I need something a little more advanced, I'll use WordPad. But I would definitely recommend using Office, and mostly because that's what the industry demands. I mean, if you submit a document to somebody who works in an office, what they have to use is Microsoft Office, and they're not going to understand what an open office document is. They're not going to know how to open that. So really to be as compatible to the rest of the world, you got to use either something that comes with Windows, like WordPad, Notepad, or use Microsoft Office because it's what's the norm.
Any thoughts for you, Rick, on just editing, just text editing or word processing?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of like Byron. Hey, man, just throw it in a Notepad and get it done. But Jart, I've seen Jart. I've used Jart down at our local blind center. It is a wonderful program. It's got nice accessibility built into it. It's built on the WordPad engine. It has spell checking, all kinds of nice things. But, yeah, Byron's right. You know, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, yeah, most of us don't. Office is almost kind of like Adobe. It's a evil necessity. But Yeah, I use it here. I use 2007 here still. I haven't jumped up to 2010 yet. And I will say officially I hate ribbons, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, I can agree to that.
Well, the next Windows 8 may have some more ribbons.
It's going to have ribbons
Explorer.
All over the place.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, all the programs, and it's going to be ribbons.
My curmudgeon attitude is coming out again. Must not get angry.
Yeah. Let's talk about social networking. Of course, Kelly mentions Twitter, which I use, and I'm sure many people do. And hope I don't upset the author, but I just put my honest opinion here. I said, Twitter client for Twitter, great for the blind, but useless to the sighted community due to its lack of a graphical user interface. Because, I mean, you know, if you...
Yeah. And I wish somebody would come up with, you know, a tweet deck for or something like that that is usable by a large print reader, because I'm one of these people who would love to use Twitter. I you know, it's a great program, but there's no graphical interface, and so I'm kind of left out in the cold. So what I use as an alternative is accessibletwitter.com or just the plain old Twitter website. But using plain old Twitter is going to be a thing of the past soon, because I can't stand there, you know, again, with my curmudgeon-y attitude, the new Twitter interface sucks.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, yeah, so, I mean, and I know they were cracking down and wanting to get away from third-party apps, and I'd hate to lose the functionality of Twitter, because it's just, I mean, it's a great tool. You mentioned TweetDeck, and I was talking about Twitter actually buying TweetDeck, and... So we'll have to see what comes of that. But so let's see. Other than that, I put a link to 7-Zip. I know, because sometimes we get files. We get zips and .rars. Of course, Windows handles support of the .zip file formats. But anything you use for kind of manipulation of files, or when you want to send multiple files to someone, which might also be a great segue to talk about our use of Dropbox and some recent news that talks about how now they're going to kind of open that up for our friends in the government to kind of look at what you're doing, which is something I said a year ago in one of the podcasts. Did not get too comfortable sending music and other files, software, and things that you don't really have legal ownership to through this portal, because eventually, if something becomes popular enough, and it was looking that Dropbox was going that way, that eventually could be scrutinized what you're doing, and it's pretty obvious who's doing what and when they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, speaking of zipping programs, I used to use WinRAR, but when I found 7-Zip, it was free and it was good and it was very similar to WinRAR, so I just switched, and it's great.
Yeah, I agree. And the funny thing is out there, you know, there's all these people saying, oh, use WinRAR, and, you know, and pay all this money. And it's, well, why? 7-Zip's great. 7-Zip's fast. 7-Zip. You know, opens about any archive you can think of, and that's what I use here.
I actually bought a key to WinRAR before I knew about 7-Zip. I don't think it was that much, but it does do, I made 2 gigabyte files and stuff, and I don't know how 7-Zip does in that large, you know, when I would move music from one server to another and things of that sort. So they're both good, but 7-Zip certainly is free, and we link to the latest 9.22, which I guess is a beta, and I don't know what that means when it comes to archivers, but Byron, you had a thought there, sir.
Well, I was just going to mention that, you know, obviously, you know, those of us who are Linux users, we're used to using, you know, like, you know, command line text based archiving programs. I wonder if there's anything that's really advanced that's out there that's command line for Windows.
Command line.
Good question.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't done anything in that space for a while. Maybe someone can comment on it. I want to move to a few other things here and open up for questions, but you mentioned text chat, and I'm also wanting to mention voice chat, so I'll first talk about voice chat. Of course, we have Skype here for multiple users, but another thing that some folks use is called Ventrilo, someone has a server set up, and of course, with any of these, you all have to be using the same piece of software, so that's why when someone asks me, how do I talk to other people, I say Skype, only because of the sheer numbers, you know, the mass deployment of it. But you have Ventrilo. You have something called Team Talk, you know, that you can use over at JJ site, which I can't think of the name right now. And there's some
Team Talk is really cool because, you know, that you can have a stereo room, you know, using the I think it's the Silk or the Kelt codec, so it sounds like you're in the room with people. But I'm still a big Ventrilo user, not necessarily because I like it better, but because the majority of my friends are on a Ventrilo server and they're used to it and they're not really willing to move. But I like both. Ventrilo is good, and TeamTalk's even better in terms of audio quality.
Yeah, Ventrilo's got a good sound quality, and we'll have to talk to you about that. I used to have like really good tech discussions with people, and we play with software and stuff on Ventrilo, and a lot of servers just tend to go into a game mode only, and I'm not a gamer, so okay, so where do I go then? But
I wonder if there's a list of Ventrilo and TeamTalk servers, because that's one of the things I've found is that thank God for Twitter and things like MSN, where I have lots of people on there so I can ask them. But if I didn't, I wouldn't know where to go to meet new blind people, because there's, as far as I know, no really good central list of Ventrilo or TeamTalk servers out there.
Well, I mean, some they want to keep private. I mean, there are some, I think, listed at Ventrilo.com and even Bearware.dk. There's some TeamTalk servers listed there. But you're right. You use Twitter or some other tool, messaging tool.
Yeah, most of them are fairly private.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you'd want it that way. You don't just want a bunch of German gamers just swooping in and speaking another language and, you know, and you kind of defeat your purpose. But you, Byron, you'd mentioned text chat. Of course, there's Miranda, but you were talking about MIRC or some actual accessible IRC. I didn't know how many people still play in that space. I'm sure there are.
Yeah, well, so let me kind of give you a brief a bit of history here. IRC has been around for a long time. What IRC stands for is Internet Relay Chat. And it's been around since the dawn of the Internet. And it's a really basic protocol. You know, it allows you to chat with people in certain rooms. So each room has something that we're all familiar with now, since we're all on Twitter, this thing called a hashtag or a pound sign or an octothorpe, and then a channel name. So for example, if I was on a server and I wanted to talk to people about comedy music, there's a place called Pound Dementia that I go to. And then, of course, for my radio shows that I do, there's a Pound Sky Scanner. And so you go into these rooms. Now, of course, you have to know the server that the room is on. So, you know, for example, the server that I hang out at most of the time is irc.dishnuts.net. And then I'm in Pound Sky Scanner. And it's all text chat, and you can do private chats and things like that. And there's a really good one called, actually there's two of them. One of them is MIRC with speech, and then the other one is MIRC for life. And what they both do, and they do them slightly differently, but they're essentially the same, is they take an existing program called MIRC, and they retrofit it to be more accessible. So they make the most current line speak instead of making you use your JAWS cursor to go find it. And they have sounds and things to let you know that you have private channels, private chats. The only thing I don't like about either of these programs is it's very difficult to scroll back in the history and read what has happened in the past. So, you know, you have to use your JAWS cursor in conjunction with the page up and page down to get further back in the chat room and read a lot of previous comments. So if anyone out there knows of any IRC comments that don't make you scroll back by using the JAWS cursor, I would love that, because that's the one downside.
Okay, so we have opened up for text. We have voice as well, but again, our users can't hear voice, so we prefer to do text. But if you do voice, please just state your name so that I can call on you and not just interrupt. I was trying to see what else we had here in terms of topics.
Well, you did briefly mention Miranda, which is a multi-messenger client program. So you could do like AIM or MSN or Yahoo or ICQ or even Facebook chat with certain plugins using this program called Miranda. And they actually have a blind accessible sort of plugin that makes it a lot more usable.
Yeah. I want to talk about updates. Are there particular websites you use to, or any of the update checkers, like FileHippo.com has one? I just saw one on CNET, some like software tracker or something like that, which I've never played with. Back in the 90s, CNET had a great one, which I think they got in some legal issues and they removed it. But the latest thing at FileHippo works is it's basically you install it, it looks at what software you have, and it comes back and tell you which programs are updates for, both regular versions and betas if you want to have the latest and greatest. But it's FileHippo Update Checker, and of course that's at FileHippo.com. And the other two sites I link to here are MajorGeeks.com and Download.com. So if any of you have comments on that, just using websites or any tools for keeping the latest and greatest software.
Yeah, I use Download.com all the time. It's good.
Yeah, I do too. and in major geeks I use from time to time as well. And I have played with the File Hippo thing. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, Major Geeks has a larger selection of different software. Let's see, we have our first text question. Let's see what we have. Okay, Peter Bosley mentions that Minite... It's a Ninite, N-I-N-I-T-E, which is good. He was reading my mind because I was trying to think. So what you can do with this Ninite is basically, I guess you have to pay for it, but you could basically create this image of all of the software that you use, like Winamp and FileZilla, which is one we didn't mention. It's FTP, so those of you who have friends with private FTP sites, which is maybe a better way, or SSH to transfer files amongst yourself without those knowing what you're doing. But this Ninite is a concept of you go in here like Flash, for example. You can get the latest versions of Flash, more accessible versions of them, and just a lot of cool software. You can get individual installers that don't prompt you for everything. They just plug in and install, and you can, I think, like I said, if you pay, you can make a custom that'll install multiple of these, which is something I should do. So like when I put a clean copy of Windows 7 on someone's computer, I could have this power installer that would put all these great programs on there in one fell swoop. And
that's really cool, because you waste so much time getting a computer up to speed when you do it manually like that.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talking about that. That seems to be quite the rage here lately.
So that's Ninite, Ninite.com is the website for that. Next question, Rodney at Tech Access Weekly says... Adobe Reader X is a good option over Adobe Reader 10.
Huh.
So Adobe Space Reader dash X is what he's saying to use in that space.
I'll have to check that out.
Interesting. Is that from Adobe, or is that just an alternative?
Yeah, because
Adobe?
When I actually download, it says I download like 10.1 or whatever, 10.01 from File Hippo, and it says Adobe Reader X. So I don't know. I'm trying to understand the difference.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
If you want to...
Well, you know, from our previous experience with Apple, anything with an X in it is better.
Okay.
OS, it's better, so...
Well, that is true. Let's see, I think there's another question. Yes. Okay, Peter Bosley said, I guess we're talking about Ninite, that the basic version is free, but the online installers always get the latest version. So, great. That's pretty cool.
By the way, speaking of Kelly Pierce, I actually saw him a couple days, because he's sort of in the Chicagoland area as well, and I saw him at a meeting that I had to be at. So it was good to see. I didn't get a chance to stop and talk to him, but it was good to see you, Kelly.
Okay, Rodney says they may have merged 10.0 and X, but X was more accessible when released. Yeah, that might have been what I was talking about earlier. When the original 10.0 came out, it wasn't accessible, and maybe they worked on X and fixed accessibility and kind of merged it into one app. So the link I've got a direct link to Adobe Reader 10.01, which... should be what you need, so you can get that here from the show notes here at serotalk.com/show-notes/winware.htm or directly at serotalk.com. Thank you, Rodney. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff there. We're getting down to our final few minutes here. I was going to see if there was any other areas here that we wanted to cover.
You know, one of the things I had brought up during the pre-show talk was everything
yeah,
search.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that is. Now, what it does... or maybe I'll let you put it in your own words, but basically it's a tool to, you can't search within files, so it's not something like Google Desktop, which I don't use, to actually search the text within, but this is great. I used it the other day. I have a variety of different music from a variety of different sources, so I could type in that artist or whatever, and it would find all these different versions of these songs or this artist, and they might all be in different places, but yet I could use the... copy and paste functionality to copy them all to one central location or just find things on my computer, but it's based on file name and it's just called everything search, and that is a very cool program. Now, I'd like to find something other than Google, which I'm always concerned about with privacy and security, to actually search within all your text files. So say I want to look for a certain, I know I've got this phone number, I know I got this person's name or address somewhere, and just run some search tool that will go inside, index all my documents and say, oh, yeah, what you want is in this document X over here. That would be cool.
That would be
sort of staying out of the Google Desktop. I really don't want to go there if I don't have to.
Well, everything is really cool. One of the things that it will do is it will allow you to access your files from outside of your network. Let's say you let's say you want a web interface of everything, and you want to be able to access it from work. It's great because with FTP, you can't really search it. With this thing, you could type what you want, and it just comes up. And then just briefly mentioning this, my friend Blair is working on a program called Udl Search, and he's hoping that when it comes out, it's not out yet, but when it does, that it will kind of rival everything and sort of be the top Windows search program. So keep an eye out at udl.com for Udl Search when it comes out.
Udl, U-T-T-L-E, or what, how do you spell it?
U-G-D-L-E.
U-G-D-L-E.
U-D-D.
U-D-D-L-E. Okay, very good. U-D-D-L-E. Udl. Udl, yes. Through the muddle and puddle. Okay, good.
Exactly.
Good deal. Yeah. I do have a comment here. JB says that if you want command line tools, try Take Command for JP Software. I think it's jpsoft.com here, he's saying.
Cool. Yeah, I'm all about command line. Once again, me being a curmudgeon, I just love that command line. As minimal as I can get with graphics, I'm happy.
Well, and sometimes it is faster, and of course, System Access works great from the Windows command prompt, so it'll read everything very nicely in that space, and I'm sure other screen readers do as well. That's just the one that works best for me in that space. Also, before I take this next question, this was, we were talking about, Chad, I have to do my blatant shameless plug that versus SamNet, we have our own chat, and with over 30 different rooms, and of course, we will converge over there later, at least I will anyway, and other folks in the tech room to follow up on any other popular Windows software, ask any other questions. Let's see, Kenny N. says, another good Windows program is the Balaric Advisor. I thought there was some spyware out there.
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah, that's still out there.
Okay, so explain that. Talk about what it does.
It kind of goes through your system and basically indexes all of your hardware and software and basically just gives you a sheet of everything that's on your computer, so you don't have to hunt around looking for driver names and stuff like that.
Does it like back up the drivers or what? I mean, because I could think of a couple.
It's an informational program.
Okay, so there's I use something called AIDA 64, AIDA 64. It was originally AIDA 32. It became Everlast or whatever it was, Everclear. I think it was called Ever something. I don't know. Then it became AIDA 64. And, yeah, so the SpellArk Advisor, that is certainly one other tool. But also this...
SIW is another one that's actually real good. There's a free version, but there's paid versions as well. And it actually digs through your system. It finds even, like, hidden passwords, email passwords, Windows keys, Office keys, all kinds of goodies.
Okay, which app is that? What was it called?
It's called SIW.
SIW, and I imagine if you have any security software, it probably sees it as spyware because of what it's doing, right? Because generally when something starts finding passwords...
Yeah, I'll put that on your computer when I come visit, Mike.
No, it's okay, buddy.
it's a reputable program.
Okay, well, that's definitely something to keep in mind. The other thing I've used is this Driver Detective. Now, you have to pay for it, but what you can do is have up to, I think, well over 10 computers. But it goes in and queries all of the drivers, and then you can download them individually or just get all the drivers. So when I build a new Windows box, it just saves me so much time. Instead of trying to go through and handpick and go to each website, it just says, okay, here's what you have. Here's what's out of date. You can select all. You can get copies of the drivers you already have just for historical purposes or to have it all in one place. But very handy tool. Worth it if you're going to work on a lot of computers and you value your time. I mean, you can geek out and go find all the drivers, but I
so it'll actually look at some mystery card and figure it out and get the driver for you.
Like 90 million drivers or some craziness like that. Now I have seen some instances where the driver they've come up with isn't the latest. Mm-hmm. So if it's me myself, I might want the latest and greatest, but it pretty much seems to detect.
At least
gets
the door open for you,
right? At least gets. Especially I get a new computer, I want to get the sound going. I want the video drivers to be current, so then you can put your Windowizer JAWS on there and not have to worry about the direct chaining or whatever. Of course, again, System Access and NVDA are non-issue, but, you want current drivers, especially your sound and your video and, networking and the wireless and the, your card readers and USB and so forth. So I like Driver Detective. That's more website, the way you approach it. And it's a little 500K piece of software that you run. So
I love stuff that's small. I can't stand bloated software.
Definitely. Let's see. That, I think, is going to put the wraps on it. I'll give each of you a chance for final comments here, and I will start with you, Rick.
Oh my.
Well, just do a shameless plug for your website, buddy.
And yeah,
I'll link up to it right here.
Yeah, you can go to the Blind Geek Zone, www.blindgeek-zone.net. Latest audio tutorial that will be up there any day now is Windows Live Mail 2011. Just did a thing for that. Working on Windows 7 Part 4. For those of you that have been downloading the Windows 7 podcast, hope to have that out pretty soon, too.
www.byronlee.com. Byron, your final thoughts tonight, sir.
Definitely want to talk with you at some point after the show about getting the radio network that I'm on iBlink Radio, because I think that program, as I told you when we talked at CSUN, that thing is the best thing since sliced bread. Definitely, you guys got to go try out iBlink Radio if you haven't already. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. That's a great program.
And I thank all of you for joining us this evening. And next week, it's this week or this month in Access Technology. May 5th will be our 100th Tech Chats. If you have any ideas, maybe we're going to come up with some prizes or something cool to lure you in. But we're going to see what we're going to do on show number 100 that's coming up on May 5th as well. And also some opportunities to make money. We're going to show you in May a show on outdoor activities. We're going to find out what blind folks do when the fun in the sun, get outside, go swimming and boating and grilling out and all that cool stuff. Those and more topics all coming up.
This concludes another Serotalk Tech Chat powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. Until we meet again, stay connected and stay directed.